Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Well, good morning. Aloha. I'm so glad to be back here. Barb and I are just always glad to be here at Kahului Baptist, and we're especially glad that our daughter Gracie's with us as well. Gracie was born here on Maui a long time ago, right, Gracie? I won't tell you how long ago. And she now teaches, just graduated from University of Hawaii recently, and teaches fourth grade up in Mililani in Oahu. So pray for her, all right? I want you to take your scriptures and would you turn to John chapter 4, just where we were reading. You may have seen it up on the screen, but we're in John chapter 4. This, I'll share a praise with you all. Jay, I'm not sure if you know that my home church, Central Baptist Church, we were without a pastor for 4 years. That's a long time. And part of that had to do with COVID and just other things that happened. And it's our home church, and so I was preaching there a lot, and we just got a new pastor. And very thankful, Dalton and Kristen Slavens and their four kids, they'd been serving on the Big Island, and they were part of Kona Baptist Church, and so just a couple of months ago. But one of the reasons I mentioned that is that I've been preaching at my home church a lot because we didn't have a pastor. And so since probably January, we've been in the book of John, and we just made it through chapter 4. And so I've really loved the book of John. It's been such a blessing for me because this 2023 for many of us have been a hard year. Amen? It's been a hard year. I was thinking about the joy that I felt coming into the worship center this morning. You guys had a lot of joy. It's just about 5 months ago that you guys, Jay, you were preaching on lament, right? And even now, we still have the leftovers of what happened in Lahaina. We're still grieving. I was just over there just about a month ago with one of the last groups of the disaster relief folks that were over doing the ash out. And it was hard. It was hard to be in Lahaina, where we'd lived for, 9 years. And just last Sunday, Barbara, in the afternoon, right after church, we flew over, so she was able to go and see. And it was hard. We're grieving. But there was so much joy when I came in here. And that is the joy of the Lord. Amen? And as we see so much in John, I want to read from the last part of John because it gives us context even for John chapter 4. You don't have to look it up, but in John chapter 20, verse 31, it says this, but these, and when it says these, John is basically saying everything that he's written in the book of John. That's what these refers to. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So every word that you read in the Gospel of John, it's written by John, but is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so the whole purpose of every word in this book is to present Christ as God's Son so that we may believe in Him and that we could have eternal life in His name. So everything that you read, so it's interesting. You look at the very first part of John and in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. You start to see the testimony from John and from the beginning of time about who Jesus is as God's Son, as divine Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You then see the testimony of John the Baptist and then the testimony of the disciples. And then you see the testimony of Jesus' works. You see the testimony of Jesus' miracles, and every one of them are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. So when you go and you read the book of John, just know that every single thing you are seeing in there is a testimony that points to Jesus Christ so that you and I could have life. And that's why you and I, 5 months after the worst tragedy I can ever imagine that happened on this island, that we could walk in here in joy. Amen? Because of the Lord, because of the change that has happened into us. Well, what I want to take just a little while to look at is just a part of one of the most amazing passages in all of the Gospel of John, this passage about the Samaritan woman. Most of you, raise your hand if you're familiar with this story. Raise your hand. Okay. So most of you are familiar with this story. It's an amazing story, and I'm just giving you a summary. Because when I've preached through this, I did eight different messages just on this passage, because it meant so much to me. It's so full of meaning. But some of the things that you see in here is you see how when Jesus met this woman, that he entered her world. He came down to her level. He met her where she was. And then you see that Jesus offered her grace. He offered her mercy. Jesus offered her eternal life, the promise of living water. And then you remember what happened is that Jesus didn't leave her where she was. He confronted her sin so that he could forgive and restore her. And then he addressed this issue of worship with her because he wanted her to be a worshiper of God. And Jay, I love to hear them singing too. Amen. You guys are singing so well. And you said the Apostles' Creed so well and clearly, declaring it as worshipers worshiping in spirit and truth. And so Jesus reveals himself clearly as the Messiah to an outcast, immoral woman that's in Samaria. You know the story. You recognize that as he confronted her sin, she talked about what was going on is that she was living in sin and she was outcast from her community. They did not want to see her and she did not want to be confronted by them. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of situation where something's happened in your life and you just, nobody wants to be around you and you don't want to be around anybody else because of your shame and because of your sin, because of something that you've done that brought shame on your family or on your community or in your church. And that was her life. And so where we pick up here, she's having this conversation with Jesus, and in verse 25, this woman says to Jesus, she says, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who's called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And in verse 26, this is an amazing thing. Jesus told her, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Now, when I saw this, and I know I've read this many times, but when I saw this, it amazed me. Do you realize that we're in chapter 4? Jesus has been with John the Baptist. He's been with Peter. He's been with all of these other disciples. Jesus has been with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, right? Nicodemus, who is this wealthy leader of the Jews, a powerful, powerful man that came to Jesus and basically wanted to know the truth. But do you realize that the first time that Jesus, out of his own mouth, says to someone, I am the Messiah, is to this woman? Just let that sink in. This outcast, immoral woman that he had revealed himself to. He confronted her sin, and from his very lips, we'd heard it from John, we'd heard it from the Holy Spirit, we'd heard it from John the Baptist, we'd heard it from Bartholomew, all these different people recognizing that Jesus is the Messiah. We'd seen it by his miracles, we'd seen it by the things that he was saying, but when he actually came out and said, I am the Messiah, it was to this immoral woman. It wasn't to any of these other people. You ever feel like that someone else is getting the special treatment instead of you? You ever feel like someone else is getting the knowledge besides you? Or maybe even feel like somebody else is getting God's favor and it's not you, right? Maybe it's your health, maybe it's your relationships, maybe it's your job that you're in. And yet look at the favor that he shows on this woman whose whole life was about feeling like she just could not get it right. And so what we see here at the very first part is we see the Savior's love. And I think as we head into 2024, we need to see the Savior's love. Amen? I know I need to see it. We need to recognize how much he loves us. And we see it in the way that he treated her. So just then, in verse 27, just then his disciples arrived. They'd been in town buying food. This whole encounter was going on at Jacob's well. And they come back and they were amazed. Now that word, that's a very strong amazed word here. They were astonished. They could not believe what they saw. They were amazed that he was talking with a woman. So an adult male did not talk to a woman in public. I probably didn't even talk to his wife in public. It was this was just part of their society, their strict rules. And so they were surprised that he was talking with a woman. I imagine they were even more surprised with what type of woman he was talking to. Yet they didn't have, it says, no one said, what do you want or why are you talking with her? They had that in their mind, right? But it didn't come out of their mouth. And so next what we see is we see, after this little part, that we see a woman's testimony. In verse 28, this is after they'd come back, and it says that the woman left her water jar, and she went into town, and she told the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? All right. Now, I just think for a second, who's talking to them? The testimony that's... And yet, in verse 30, it says they left the town and they made their way to him. I want you to think about right now the transformation that happened in this woman's life from her encounter with Jesus Christ. There was a transformation, and it's the same thing that we see over and over when Jesus encounters a person. It transforms their life. When you meet Jesus, you cannot stay the same. Now, you could learn about Jesus. You could read about Jesus in an academic way. You could hear someone talk about Jesus and not change. But when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the divine one, when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, you cannot stay the same. And that's what happened to this woman. I imagine over and over in your life, you have experienced transformation. The change that happens when you come to Jesus and he reveals himself to you, he confronts your sin, you repent and ask his forgiveness, and then he does this powerful work of change in your life. He changes your attitudes. He changes your outlook on life. He changes everything about you. He transforms you, and this is what he does here. And how is that possible? Well, the first thing that happened is that he'd made her face herself in truth. As we head into 2024, I know there's some things that I'd like to put behind me. Anybody have anything you'd like to put behind you in 2023? Okay. Maybe some decisions that you made. Maybe even some words that came out of your mouth. Maybe some attitudes that you had. Maybe some lack of faith, or maybe some things that happened to you in 2023. Well, one of the things that Jesus does when he encounters us is He makes us take a hard look at the truth of ourselves. And let me tell you, it's not pretty. It's one of the reasons why Jay or whoever else is leading, we have a time of confession as we're reminded, as we should be reminded every day when we spend time with the Lord, is that we bring our confession to Him. We recognize that we need Him to heal us. We need Him to forgive us. And we need to confess our sins. It's hard to see the truth of ourselves. Have you ever had a bad picture taken of yourself? Huh? Yes. Right? Now, some photographers, professional photographers, they know how to get you in your right light. Have you ever had a really good picture taken of yourself? Raise your hand. Admit it. You're like, oh, that doesn't look so bad. I've actually had some good pictures taken of myself where they just got me somehow just in the right angle and in the right light, however it was, then I'm like, oh, that's all right. But then there's another time that someone takes a picture and you're like, oh, let me look at that. And you're like, oh my gosh, is that what I look like? Raise your hand, honest, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. It's like, man, either you're saying, man, I look old, or I look fat, right? Or, man, that's just not right. Well, let me tell you, that's part of what a picture does, is it shows you the truth, right? And in the same way, when we meet Jesus and we look in His Word, we see our true self. And it's not pretty. And that's when we realize that we serve a holy God and we are unholy, and we bring our confession and we confess to Him and He forgives us because He loves us. The other thing is that she was so amazed that Jesus knew her heart. And when this happened, Jesus knew her heart and knew what really was going on inside. She had a drive to tell somebody else. The other thing that I thought was amazing is you think about what happened to her shame. The reason that this woman would have been out at noon at the well was because she did not want to see anybody else, and nobody else wanted to see her because of her shame. Everybody else would have gone, and it was the tradition, the women would have gone to draw the water. They would have gone in the cool of the morning or the cool of the evening. No one would go at noon, but she would go at noon. But what happened to her shame? Now, everything is out in the open. It is redeemed and it's forgiven, and she didn't care any longer because Jesus had forgiven her and changed her. And what we see here is the power of a transformed life, and we see her testimony, and we see an invitation from her to other people to come and to see Jesus. She says, come, in verse 29, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And in verse 30, they left the town and they made their way to him. Now notice how God works in her to do this. I was thinking how different it would have been if this woman came to town and just started saying, hey, everybody, I just met the Messiah. He's the Messiah. I think there would have been a different outcome. I think if she just came in, hey, guess who I just met? Guess what I just figured out? They were like, we don't listen to you. But you notice the attitude that she came with. She came with this attitude of, you know what? I just met a man. He knew everything that was going on in my life. He revealed all my sin. This is an amazing thing. This transformed woman herself is a powerful testimony. And all these people that she had avoided because of her shame and because of the way that her community had shunned her, because of her sinful and immoral life, now she comes boldly and unashamed because God had transformed her. It was such a change. Basically, we're listening to a verbal testimony of what God had done in her life. Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, "She did as good as say, 'You know what I've been, all of you.' It says, 'It is of no use for me to attempt concealing it, but when I went to draw water at the well, there sat a stranger there, a Jew. And though he could not have known anything about me by report, yet he directed a question to me, which led me to discourse upon my character. And then he told me in detail all that I'd ever been. And he mentioned some facts which you do not know, and which I'd forgotten myself. Surely he must be the Messiah.'" That's what she's saying. And then listen to her invitation. Come, could this be the Messiah? And look what happened. It says, verse 30, they left the town and they made their way to him. Now, in verses 31 to 38, I'm going to skip over that, but there's an amazing, you go back and look at it. There's just an amazing conversation between Jesus and the disciples. And it's a conversation about the disciples wanting Jesus to stop and to eat. And basically, Jesus saying he didn't want to eat. He says, "This is why I came. This is my food." Now, I want you to think about all the other places where Jesus would go in and would share the gospel, and the disciples would share the gospel, and they would be rejected. And here's this one amazing revival story. And Jesus is like, "I am not going to stop to eat right now. This is why I came." And so then he tells them something about the comparing the folks coming out to the fields being white for harvest. It's an amazing thing. But let's go to verse 39 and let's see what happens here. Because what we see here is a great harvest. A great harvest. In verse 39, it says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified, "He told me everything I did." So verse 39 is a description of what happened when they came to Jesus. They believed in him. So because of the woman's testimony about Jesus, people came to Jesus, right? But I want you to recognize that it was not the woman's testimony that saved them, right? It was Jesus who saved them, because only Jesus can save. Amen? Amen. That's right. And so while she pointed them, this is the work of Jesus, who's the Son of God. He was doing the work that was given to him by the Father. The Samaritans saw her transformed life. They saw that she was no longer ashamed. They saw joy that was in her life instead of despair. And they heard her testimony about the supernatural power of Jesus to see into heart, and they responded to the invitation to come see for themselves. And what happens is that Jesus saves them too. And so in verse 40, it says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there two days. Now, it says that they asked Jesus to stay. It doesn't say how long they asked him to stay. I imagine they would have liked him to stay a lot longer, don't you think? But here it does tell us that he stayed 2 days. Don't you think those are two amazing days? I would have liked to have been in that town in those two amazing days, to hear the testimony of Jesus. I would have liked to have been one of those disciples thinking about how Jesus was breaking down their preconceived notions of who can be saved and who can't be saved, right? About God's love and his power, his power over shame, his power over sin, his power over darkness, his power over evil, his power over disease. And then in verse 41 it says, many more believed, while he was there, many more believed because of what he, Jesus, said. So they believed because of the testimony of the woman, but more believed because of the direct teaching of Jesus. And then verse 42 is just one of the most amazing things. And then they told the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, since we have heard for ourselves and know that this is really the Savior of the world." It's the first time in John we hear that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I imagine John had just been waiting to be able to say that and to be able to hear it from the mouths of these people whose lives are being transformed by Jesus. Now, this is not disrespecting this woman when they say this, all right? It sounds just a little cheeky to say that when they say, "Hey, you know, we no longer believe because you told us, we believe because we heard it ourselves." No, this is a loving way of them saying, "Hey, listen, we are so grateful that you told us about Jesus, but something's happened is that we know because we met Jesus ourselves." Now, I want you to think about right now, I want you to think about the story, your own story of when God changed your life, when you got saved, when God saved you, when he revealed himself to you and saved you. You know that that was a work of Jesus Christ, amen? There's no human being that can make you say, "Lord, Lord," and confess that Jesus is Lord. The scripture tells us that. But we also recognize, just like this story, that God uses people in our lives to nudge us to Christ, to point us to Christ. It's part of the way that he's working. And as you think about your own story, especially as we finish out 2023 and go into 2024, I want you to think about your own story about when you were saved. And I want you to think about one or two or three people that God used in your life to nudge you to Jesus Christ. Think of those persons' names right now. All right? Somebody yell out one of those names. Okay? Somebody else from the very back there. Lance, back in the back. Or somebody back around you. It doesn't have to be you. Somebody back in the back. All right? Somebody way back in the back in this side over here. Say it out loud. All right? Someone here in the front. All right? How about back there? Anybody? All right. Okay. For me, it was my mom and dad. All right. And then also, there's two guys in high school that God used to bring me back to the Lord. One was named Gayton, and one was named Stephen. Both ended up being in my wedding. All right. Yeah. I was thankful for that. I know Barbara's thankful for that, right? That they pushed me back to Jesus. You think about the way that God uses people in our lives, like this woman, whose lives are transformed, but they don't keep it to themselves. They share it with someone else. And brothers and sisters, right now, there are people right now that God has in your life that he wants to use you in. There are people right now that need to see the transforming power of Jesus in your life. Some of this is a work of submitting to him, allowing him to confront you with your sin and confessing your sin, repenting, allowing him to do this work of transformation and allowing him to bring you joy and then sharing that with somebody else who he's using it. It could be seeing somebody else that has walked away and are struggling in their sin, and you're helping them to come back to Christ. It could be someone who does not know Christ, and he is at work in their life, and he is going to work in you. And on a regular basis, I believe that God taps us on the shoulder, and by the Holy Spirit speaks into our heart and says, "There's someone that I need you to say something to. There's someone I need you to serve. There's someone I need you to help in this way. There's someone I need you to call or text or walk over to." And that's the work of the Holy Spirit saying, I need you to be a part of what I'm doing to save that person. And I believe in 2024, it's our opportunity to do that. Amen? The amazing thing is when we had that time of confession, we were able to say, and it may be that right now as we sing in a few minutes, that we may need to be able to, in this time of singing and in this time of response to God, it may be that we say, God, in 2023, I dropped the ball in sharing my testimony like this woman. I cowered to fear. I was too busy doing other things, but not so in 2024. Lord, would you forgive me for not doing that? Because someone else pointed me to you. I know you did the saving, but you used somebody else. And Lord, would you do the same thing in me? For some of you, the message today is you need the message of that woman who has no more shame, right? God took away the shame. He confronted her sin. And he said, my power is greater than your sin. And I can forgive you. These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen? Amen. Would you stand up as we pray? God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here that make up Kahului Baptist Church. I thank you for the saints that are here who gather in this place. I just thank you for the amazing testimony that they have. And I thank you for the saints that are here. Lord, you've called us this morning by your word. To allow you to confront us of our sin and to repent and to allow you to transform our lives. God, you've also called us to share what you have done, to show our testimony and to give a testimony of who you are and what you've done. God, I thank you. I thank you for the power of your blood. I thank you for dying on the cross for me and for my brothers and sisters. And I thank you for the work that you have done in us, transforming us. God, we let go of 2023 and all the horrible things that have happened. We also celebrate the amazing things that you have done in 2023. And we just look forward to what you are going to do in 2024. We trust you. Our hope is in you. Our hope is in you, Jesus. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.